In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I will reintroduce myself and tell you a little bit about who I am and why I'm here. My name is Susanna, and I am the canon for formation and vocations for our Diocese of New Jersey. And what I do is I spend my time with congregations and clergy and communities figuring out better ways for us to learn about who God is, and then what we do about our knowledge about who God is, and how we show what we know about God to the rest of the world. And one of my favorite things to do is now, instead of being in my own parish, which is what I was doing for about 6 years before I started working with the diocese, I loved that work, but I always wanted to know what other people were doing on Saturday evenings and Sunday mornings, and now I get to see that. So I'm very excited to be here at St. Thomas. I was here a few weeks ago for the Hispanic Ministry Festival, which was really something. And I'm glad to see it again in this different context. So I want to tell you, I'm especially excited to preach on this week's gospel because it's one of those instances of scripture where they give us these really dense passages. It's just one paragraph, but you could find a million different ways to go. And so if I was only preaching one service, I could only chase down one of those ways. But you all have three services. So I get to try out three different ways to preach the gospel. So if you want to hear something different from what you heard tonight, you can come at 8 o'clock or 10 o'clock tomorrow, or you can just watch the service online if you want to hear the other directions that I'm going to be taking tomorrow. But let's go on with this one. I'd like to boil down the story that we just heard. It's fairly simple. There's a blind man named Bartimaeus. He knows who Jesus is. He cries out for Jesus' help. He's healed, and then he joins the crowd to follow Jesus on the way. It's pretty simple. Let's pick out some details, though. Bartimaeus is labeled as a beggar, which means he has no home and very few possessions, maybe just that cloak that he's got on, and he depends on the kindness of others just to survive. He cries out for help. The surrounding crowd then tries to get him to quiet down, but Jesus hears him. And he tells that same crowd to call him over. So when Bartimaeus comes to him, Jesus asks what he wants, receives Bartimaeus's request, and then heals Bartimaeus of his blindness. And then Bartimaeus becomes part of that community, part of that crowd, and follows Jesus. That opens up a few more possibilities, right? We get some more details when we start picking that story apart. For tonight, the detail I'm going to go with is that cloak, Bartimaeus's cloak. Is that too small a detail? Let's find out. That cloak is probably the most valuable thing that Bartimaeus owns, and he doesn't have much else. So if you have nothing but that, if you have no permanent shelter, that cloak is going to serve not just as a coat, and not just as kind of an all-purpose clothing item, but also as a tent or a bedroll and so on. It is absolutely indispensable. It's something that he would have a very hard time surviving without. And it's not just important to him. That whole culture recognizes that garment, that cloak, as a key element not just of your clothing, but of all of your possessions. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus commands that if someone takes away your tunic, which is a light garment, it's more or less replaceable, then you should also hand over your cloak as well. In this commandment, we're told about overcoming scarcity with abundance. Oh, you want this little thing that I have? Okay, guess what? I'm going to give you everything I have. It's not an overstatement to say that this bit of advice, this command of Jesus to hand over our cloaks, if the tunic is what's being asked for, it would have been nearly as shocking as Jesus' commandment to give away everything you have to follow him. Cloaks are not a fashion accessory. They're a necessity for folks that are living in harsh times, especially if they don't really have anything else. So Bartimaeus's cloak is part of his livelihood, and he's sitting there on the side of the road, all wrapped up in it. And why is he sitting down? Why isn't he part of the crowd? Why isn't he on the move? It's because he can't see. He can't get swept up in that community of people that surround Jesus because he only knows that Jesus is in there somewhere, but he doesn't know exactly where. And that crowd of people, rather than helping him, is doing exactly the opposite. Quiet down. Sit down. Stop that noise. It's not until Jesus himself hears Bartimaeus crying out and then commands the crowd to show some support that things begin to change. Now, when the crowds begin to encourage Bartimaeus, here's where it gets especially interesting in terms of that cloak. When this community of people tells Bartimaeus, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you," instead of "stay down and be quiet and stop calling on Jesus," he is so very encouraged that he throws off that cloak and goes straight to Jesus. Now, I want you to know I looked very carefully at the words used in the original Greek, because we all know that sometimes the English translation can fall short, or even sometimes they just put a word in there that doesn't even mean what the original Greek meant. I wanted to make very sure that this one little phrase meant exactly what I thought and hoped that it meant, and it does. And in fact, it's even a little bit more intense. Bartimaeus doesn't keep the cloak on when he gets up. And he doesn't just take it off. And he doesn't fold it up and carry it with him. He throws it off. The Greek says he casts it aside. He flings it away from him in his eagerness to get to Jesus. It is the only thing of value that he owns. It is the most important thing that he owns. Without this cloak, he would be, at the very least, really uncomfortable and possibly even in danger. But at the sound of Jesus' call to him, it's not important anymore. The only thing that matters is getting to Jesus as quickly as possible. And that's what he does. And then he is healed. Healed and then included in this crowd, in this community of believers who also, by the way, needed Jesus' voice in order to make their community complete. What happens to that cloak after Bartimaeus is healed? His vision is restored. Does he find it on the side of the road where he threw it and get it back? Or does a member of the crowd hold on to it for him or hand it over? Does he leave it behind for someone else? Is it taken away? There's no way for us to know. But what we do know about cloaks is that once they are left behind, somebody comes along to take it up. Especially in the Old Testament, the cloak or mantle is the garment that's worn by the prophets. Probably the best example of the mantle being passed along is the prophet Elijah's cloak being handed on to Elisha. First placed around his shoulders by Elijah himself as a sign of Elisha's own gifts, and then it's taken up from the ground by Elisha after Elijah is taken up into the heavens. So Bartimaeus has thrown his cloak on the ground. And he's cried out for justice and for healing. And despite the active discouragement of the community around him, he will not be silent. And God hears him. God orders that same community to hear him also, and to pay attention, and to participate in that justice and healing, and to welcome him into God's community just as they have been welcomed. Jesus commands the crowds to take part in that process, and I will have more to say about that tomorrow in one of those sermons, but for tonight, let's freeze that moment in our minds. Let's picture and hold that moment in our minds. Bartimaeus, having shouted out loud for mercy, is about to receive it, and in that moment, he is leaping up from the ground as he tears that cloak from around his shoulders and throws it aside, and there it is. In the dust. It could be picked up by somebody who needs it, maybe by someone who saw it fall to the ground, or maybe by someone who's missed the whole thing and only comes along later, cold and defenseless, someone with nothing. And the cloak could be the difference between life and death. It could be picked up by someone that saw the whole thing, who's inspired by Bartimaeus's faith and by his persistence and by his clarity on what needs to be healed when Jesus asks him. The cloak could be the prophet's mantle, the object lesson for prophets to come, prophets who point not to themselves or even to Bartimaeus, but to Christ, saying, "I have seen God at work." And so again, that cloak could be the difference between life and death. I'm not saying that Bartimaeus is a prophet. I'm not saying he's not a prophet either. I'm just pointing to that cloak on the ground. It's clear that at least in this moment, Bartimaeus doesn't think he needs it. Does someone else? Do you?